Welcome to the Buccaneers Observer Podcast. This is Ralph Phillips.
I'm Molly Bay.
Got some news for you.
What is it?
I don't know. Bucks news.
Today is March 4th. Tomorrow is the last day to franchise tag players.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, that's right.
4 o'clock is the deadline. Rick Stroud is reporting today that Donovan Smith is getting the franchise tag at $14.5 million. However, Donovan Smith has been on Twitter. You guys know how he loves Twitter. And he had two tweets. One was, y'all know something? I don't know. And the second one was, never understood how people believe something someone puts out there about another person's life, etc. And especially not hearing it from the horse's mouth.
Dang.
And that was right after the report came out that he was getting franchise tag.
Well, either he's not in the loop.
Right.
Or Rick Stroud's making stuff up again.
Well, I mean, it very well could be that they're talking to his agent and yeah, he's the last to know. So we'll know definitively tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
Right.
But Rick Stroud's report is that he's getting the franchise tag and then they're going to re-sign him to like a backloaded deal.
How would Rick Stroud know that?
He's got somebody in the front office.
Well, he could say that that's what they're going to try to do.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Okay.
Bucks intend to do this.
Oh, yeah. Well, Donovan, it's looking like he's going to get $14 million, $14.5
million. $14.5 million.
That's what Rick Stroud was saying.
Yeah.
Man, that's way too much money. I'm sorry. But
Donovan should be happy about that, if that's what's going on.
Yeah, he's probably happy if it happens, but I don't know. It'd probably be aggravating. I could imagine, you know, hearing people talking about you on Twitter, like, they know more about your life than you do.
Yeah, and he gets really frustrated in particular. He gets upset with people talking about him on Twitter.
Does he?
Yeah.
What, like his performance?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, just perform
in general,
better.
I know, right? That's the life of a football player.
Hmm. You know, we've only franchise tagged three players in Buccaneers history. I mean, it's only been around for like 30 years. Since 1993, that was the first year. And we tagged Paul Gruber. And then Connor Barth is the only other one.
I knew it was a kicker. I was going to say Brian Anger, but
2012. Yeah, we don't franchise a lot.
Yeah.
Franchise tag players.
I don't really understand how it works. I know you just, is it just you get them for another year at top?
Yeah, they
money?
Take the top 10 positions, salaries.
Yeah, I understand that part, but then
yeah, it's basically
a short-term
solution. Yeah, it's
solution.
1 year.
Okay.
Yeah, it's basically saying they can't go anywhere.
Gotcha.
But you got to pay them top dollar for that.
And it's when their contract is up.
Right.
So really, they're not under contract. They're just.
I guess. I don't know. They probably have to sign franchise papers or something.
Yeah, and there's probably like certain terms that come along.
You know, there's
with
all
it.
Kinds of crap.
Yeah.
That's
I would love to see an NFL contract.
I want to know how if they get hurt, do they get paid for a game? You know, I've heard so many different things on this, but I've never known for sure. And it might be different contracts say different things. But, you know, like you get paid $1 million per game, and then you're out for six games. Do they pay you $6 million to sit on your butt and rehab?
Right. I don't know. It's a good question.
If anybody knows that, shoot me an answer, because I've always wanted to know that. And is it contract dependent? Do
right.
Some guys get that? Some guys don't? Don't know.
Speaking of off-season rumors, last week, one of the radio stations tweeted that the Bucks could be making some unpopular moves, like getting rid of popular players.
Who said that?
It was one of the local radio stations tweeted it. And they hinted that it was going to be Lavonte David, maybe. Well, Jenna Lane came out and said today that Lavonte David is not going anywhere, per her sources.
Man, all these people are fighting each other for sources, aren't they?
Yeah.
Coming out with crazy stuff. That's off season for you, though.
Yeah.
Man.
They got to stay relevant, the journalists.
Jenna Lane. Not a big fan of her.
Speaking of Jenna Lane.
Well, you know, she was at the Combine, and she didn't really tweet much about the Combine. Matter of fact, here's what she tweeted while she was at the Combine. She talked about Mike Mayock.
Mayock,
yeah, about him being on the podium instead of asking questions or whatever. She tweeted about Jeff Dickerson, an ESPN colleague whose wife had died or something of that nature. She took a group picture with all the women that were at the NFL Combine and talked about how great it is. And then she took a picture with Kelly Masters and talked about how much she adores Kelly Masters. And her final tweet from the Combine, this is the fifth year she's been there, she said it's not about the athletes, but meeting all her new work friends. You know, and I'm just kind of like, yo, I don't care about all that.
Yeah.
I don't care who you're friends with. I don't want you dropping names. I don't, you know. And that's one thing. It's kind of like in movies. If you notice most movies, the characters are writers or directors or, you know, they've got all these jobs of, you know, that's all the directors and writers know about,
mm-hmm.
You know, the producers or whatever. They've got all these weird jobs. It's like, why don't you have characters that are, you know, coal miners or work at Walmart or McDonald's,
mm-hmm.
You know? And that's how I am with this. I'm like, I don't really care about your, you know, you get that with journalists all the time. They're always talking about other journalists.
Yeah.
You know, about how, you know, this person's having family troubles or, you know, pray for that. You know, it's like, yeah, I don't care. I don't follow you to find out about your journalist friends. And then she had a tweet before the combine where she talked about the horror of hearing Lindsey Vonn say that she had been asked if her uterus had fallen out. And then along with a Nike ad about how women are awesome at sports and can be emotional and what, I don't know. Nike had another, you know, women empowerment commercial apparently. And then she also had a tweet saying, I stay out of players' personal lives until they start having weddings and cute babies, because Levante David just married his girlfriend, Tondrea. And then she said, then I want every detail imaginable. I blame estrogen. Then her next tweet after that added to the last tweet saying, you know, come to think of it, I definitely am nosy about their pets, too. In fact, that was my chief concern when the hurricane came through. I'm like, what? For one, you're supposed to be a sports reporter. I want to hear about football. Don't want to hear about your journalist friends and all the friends you made right. And you being on estrogen and how women are empowered and cute babies and weddings and pets.
Yeah.
Sorry. If you're going to do that, do it on another Twitter account.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't mind getting to know all the person. I don't mind when journalists or media types get personable. But, man, you better have a whole lot of diehard information that's interesting to me. And generally just doesn't. She just...
I don't mind when they get personal, but I like the ones who are more robots. Like, I like Greg Allman.
Like Greg Allman, yeah. Right.
Where he's just very football. All he talks is football.
Business, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he does do some personal stuff, but...
Yeah, I'm really going to miss Dirt Cutter laying into Jenna Lane because she deserved a lot of that. She just...
Well, it's a little frustrating as a woman who has an interest in sports because it's like... This is why people don't take women in sports seriously.
Right, yeah. You're going to sit there and talk about weddings and babies and
I want to see dudes hit each other. Like, that's why I am in football.
I mean, you know, that stuff's, you know, it's an interesting sidebar stuff, but she's saying that that's what she's interested in.
Right.
You know? It's like, come on. It's like, she goes to the combine. She says, I'm not interested in the athletes. I'm interested in all my friends I've made there.
Right.
Like, what?
She picked the wrong profession.
Jared McCoy has a new foundation, McCoy PD Found. That's the Twitter handle, at McCoy PD Found. I don't know what the PD stands for. The Found stands for Foundation, I assume. He's partnered with the NFLPA to create limited edition t-shirts. So go out there if you want to support this foundation, whatever it is, and buy one of his shirts. It's got his number and name on the back of it, and it has some stuff on the front for the foundation. But the NFLPA is partnering with him. So go buy a shirt, support the foundation, whatever it is.
You didn't even try to figure out what the foundation's
about. No, I did try to figure it out. But here's the funny thing. The Twitter handle doesn't work yet. I think he tweeted it out before.
Oh.
So when I went to look it up. Nothing
it's like super new.
Yes, very super new.
So we'll probably hear about it in the next few months.
Yeah.
I bet it has something to do with kids. He likes doing stuff.
Yeah, he
for
does
kids.
A lot of stuff with kids. Yeah, he does a lot of charity work and stuff. And the Glazers have him doing, I mean, he's frontman for all their stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like the glasses, the kids get free glasses, van. Yeah, they have a van that goes around and they give out free glasses to impoverished kids and whatnot.
Right.
Yeah, so they can read. Hopefully not read the Buccaneers stats for the past 10 years. Greg Allman's reported that safety Andrew Adams, Triple A, is now an unrestricted free agent because Bucks will not be tendering him. They don't want to pay him $2 million. Come on, man.
I know. Well, they think they can get him for less, I think is what it is.
That is nitpicky. That's how we lost.
We've lost a lot of good
players. A lot of players. I'm trying to think of Doug Williams.
Oh.
Yeah. We didn't want to pay him, and then Washington picked him up. And, you know, here's the thing. You know, the salary cap is $188.2 million now. There's 53 players, so that's $3.5 million per player. I mean, if you even it out, that's $3.5 million per player. But of course, you don't get to do that. You have quarterbacks are making $15, $20 million. Yeah. So they're equal to, what's that, five guys? You know, and then you have people like Mike Evans making, what's he making, 13?
Oh, God. No, I think closer to 20.
Nah.
Yeah. He's the second highest paid player on our team.
Yeah, so he's taking up five guys' salary.
Yeah.
Then you got Gerald McCoy. He's making $13, $14 million. He's taking up five guys' salaries. So, you know, they have to, all these little fish are nibbling for the leftovers, you know, when they say, oh, $2 million is too much to pay for a safety, you know, it's like, wow.
A really productive safety last year.
Yeah, he led the team in interceptions. He had right. four, but three of them in one game.
Right.
Triple A.
Hey, he earned that nickname.
Yes, he did. I liked him. I liked him.
I did too.
You know, everybody in our secondary I like, except for Brent Grimes, and Justin Evans needs a lot of work. But, you know, he came on towards the end. It was that Chicago game that just, I've never seen anybody play that bad. Just, he was totally lost. And if you listen to the podcast, I said it, he was the sole reason why we lost that game.
Ugh.
And, you know, that game was really interesting. It was a turning point. Because, you know, we were doing good. We had lost to Pittsburgh, but, you know, it wasn't a bad loss.
Right.
Right. And we had the two games to start the season where we really kicked butt. But then we go into Chicago and we got our butts handed to us. And it was mainly because Justin Evans was just out of position all the time. And they had receivers open almost every play because Evans looked like he didn't know what was going on. Anyhow, in that game, it really set the tone for the rest of the season. And I think it's kind of why Dirk Cutter kind of lost the team, because with 6 minutes left, almost 7 minutes left, we were down, I think it was 42-6 or something like that. Dirk Cutter quit. He just started running the ball. 6 minutes left. Now, you know, the chances that you're going to score that many touchdowns and get that many points in 6 minutes are real slim, but this is football. That's why you play the game. You never quit. And he did. And I remember watching that, and I noted it, and I said, you know, that's horrible. That just sends the team a terrible message. You know, because, I mean, who's the deciding factor? Who decides when you can quit? When's a good time to quit? When you're down 21-3, 14-6? I don't know.
Right. Where's the line?
Yeah. Different guys are going to have quit factors in their head now. And you don't want that. You don't want your players to ever quit. So I think that's when Cutter's job was done. You know, that was the
turning point.
Yeah, the turning point.
Point of no return.
Point of no return. That's when it started, his downfall, and the team just kind of went meh.
That was so early in the season.
Yeah, I think it was game 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fan sided Matt Verderami. If it was Verderami, maybe we'd have a little tilde at the end or something. he claims that DeSean Jackson is unwilling to take a pay cut and, quote, struggled to work well with Jameis. This was picked up by Gil Arcia at Bucs Nation as Jackson being selfish and had a rocky relationship with Winston. Now, here's the thing. I don't know this Matt guy from Fanside, and I don't know. He didn't quote any sources, didn't name them. But what he said was that DeSean Jackson is unwilling to take a pay cut and struggled to work well with Jameis. That translated into DeSean Jackson is selfish and had a rocky relationship with Jameis Winston at Bucs Nation. And that's how this stuff gets started.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, this has already been out there. I mean, this has been rehashed and rehashed. But that just goes, to me, that's a perfect example of how this crap just builds momentum. You know, within 3 or 4 articles, you know, we're going to have these two guys pull the knife on each other. And DeSean Jackson's going down the street kicking babies.
Yeah. You do have to be really careful as a writer how you're interpreting what they said. Because to Gil, like, maybe he doesn't see that as a leap.
No, I don't think he did.
You know, but I think you really have to be careful how you're interpreting these things.
Yes, to me, it was just like, I read the one article, and then I went and read the other article, and I was like, how in the world did they get that out of that?
Right.
But, hey, you got to do what you got to do for them clicks, I guess. I had talked about Tom Brady and Gerald McCoy a couple of the past two podcasts. I've talked about their salaries, and this has kind of fascinated me. But Tom Brady's career earnings was $212,166,804 over the past 19 years.
Wow.
That's $11.16 million per year.
Okay.
Jared McCoy's salary at the Buccaneers has been $110,113,033 over the past 9 seasons.
So a little more than half.
A little more than half. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that gives him a salary of $12.234 million a year. So he's made more money than Tom Brady.
Per year.
Per year.
Gotcha.
Yeah, he hasn't been there the whole 19 years yet.
Right. But, wow.
Yeah, I remember looking at that years ago and going, how in the world is Jared McCoy making more money than Tom Brady? And Gerald McCoy was in the number 36 on the Forbes list of world's highest paid athletes in 2015.
Wow.
And that's the world's highest. That includes Mayweather. That includes all the soccer stars.
Yeah. Baseball.
Baseball. Yeah. I mean, those guys make some money. Yeah. And McCoy was number 36, the world's highest paid athletes in 2015.
Wow.
Yeah, we sucked in 2015.
Yeah. I'm trying to think.
You can say that about any year in the past 10 years, I think.
How bad was that year?
Right. When was that? That was...
What... That's when we drafted Jameis, right?
That was the second year of Lovey's regime. Yeah. Yeah, so it was horrible. All of Lovey's. Did Lovey ever win 5 games in a season? I don't think so.
I don't recall. You're going to have to fact check that one.
Oh, my gosh. All right, next podcast, we'll let you know. Dang it.
I do have one piece of news. Mark Duffner got hired with the Bengals.
Oh, well, good for him.
Yeah, yes. He was the last of our coaching staff to not have a job yet.
I was worried about that. Remember, we were talking about how nobody's hired him yet?
Yep.
The Bengals, though. What's going to happen with them? Who's their new head coach?
I don't even know. I'm just thinking about that.
Who? Well, what was it? The head coach of, was it Jacksonville? Rich Riddle or some crap like that? I was like, I've never even heard of this guy.
Arizona, because we were talking about Rosen.
Ricky Riddleton or something?
No. Cliff Kingsbury.
How in the world did I get Ricky Riddleton out of Cliff Kingsbury?
It's hard to say.
Oh, Casey, what's her last name?
Phillips.
Casey Phillips. From Buccaneers.com, she's the media girl there. She's got a vlog that just started today on YouTube. It's on the Buccaneers channel, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Go check it out. It's pretty neat. She does behind the scenes at the Combine. It's not a whole lot there yet, but she's interesting. She's got a bubbly personality, and you know, she seems to be pretty good with the camera. So I'm anxious to see what kind of behind the scenes stuff they're going to do. So go check out Casey's vlog on the YouTube channel. They might even have it on the Buccaneers.com. I don't know. Probably do. I saw it on YouTube. All right, so today we've got Know Your Enemy for the Carolina Panthers all queued up and ready to go. So What's happening, Molly?
All right. So the 2018 season, they finished 7-9. They were third in our division.
Ain't that crazy? They started off 6-1 or 6-0 and then went 6-1.
Yeah.
And they just blew up.
Yeah.
It was because of Cam Newton's arm, I think, right?
Right. He hurt his throwing shoulder.
Got surgery in the offseason.
He's had surgery. Yes. And they actually fired two of their position coaches in week 13 of 2018. And Rivera took over an offensive play calling from the defensive coordinator.
Really?
Yeah.
That was week 13?
Yeah. So they fired their defensive line coach, and then they fired their assistant secondary / cornerbacks coach. And so their defensive coordinator, Eric Washington, it was his first year coaching last year. And this year, Rivera will continue playing, calling defensive plays. And Washington is actually only going to oversee the front seven, not the secondary. They've hired a secondary coach, which they did not have last year.
Huh.
Then after the season ended, their wide receivers coach, they let him go. They made some interesting moves, kind of Bruce Arians moves. Everett Brown is their new assistant linebackers coach. He was actually drafted by Carolina in 2009 and then played with them for 2 years.
Really?
He stopped playing in 2014. Now he's their defensive line coach. Then another one, Ben Jacobs, was a linebacker for 6 years for them as far back as last season.
That's interesting.
So he's actually on their list of transactions on their website that they released him, which they didn't really release him. He retired and now he's a coach. He's the assistant special teams coach.
That's interesting. They're all defensive players.
Yeah. So then Sam Mills, the third, is now their defensive line coach. He's been with Carolina for 15 years.
As a player?
No, as an assistant. So he was the assistant defensive line coach.
Oh, okay.
Then they fired their defensive line coach, Brady Hoke, and he was promoted last season. He worked as the assistant defensive line coach for 8 years. And then he's also, this is a weird one, he was named as game management coordinator. So that means he's going to be in charge of clock management, replay challenges, and other situational football analysis.
Didn't Cutter hire somebody to do that? I swear I remember that. What happened?
I don't know.
Huh, interesting. I'm going to look into that. Because
that was a critique of his.
Yeah, because he was going to call the plays, and he didn't want to have to worry about clock management and replay and all that stuff. That looks like that's what Big Dummy is going to do here, the coach for the Carolina Panthers. Yeah, I call him Big Dummy.
Others call him Riverboat Ron.
Big Dummy translates.
they named Perry Fuel as their secondaries coach. So he came from the Jags as their defensive backs coach, and he coached with Rivera way back in 2005 at the Bears. And again, they didn't have a secondary coach last year. Richard Rodgers coached all defensive backs. So
really?
He's going to continue just to coach the safeties.
That's interesting. But they had some really screwed up coaching stuff going on last year.
Yeah. And I think their secondary wasn't great. I mean, obviously they're firing one of their secondary coaches last year and shoring it up this year. And they are losing their running backs coach who's been there for the last 15 or 15 of the last 17 years. So he left for 2 years, came back.
That's interesting.
Yeah. He's been with the team for a really long time.
Yeah, that's a big part of their team.
Yeah. He joined the team in 2002, left in 2011 to join the Titans, and he stayed 2011, 2012, then came back to Carolina. Running backs coach Joe Skipper, that's his name.
I wonder if that, when he went to the Titans, was when they had that good running game with Chris Johnson.
It was.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
So where'd he go? Joe Skipper?
He retired. Yeah. He's really old. God. I know. He's old. He's like in his 80s, probably.
Wow.
Yeah. So they've hired Jake Peets to take his place. He's got 9 years and NFL experience, but spent last season at the University of Alabama.
Oh, their running game's gonna suck.
Yeah, so that's gonna be interesting. That's a big change.
Ooh, that's
for them.
Huge.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Now, how did Carolina do? Do we know? I see Joe Skipper left in 2011, so he was gone for 2011, 2012. It'd be interesting to see how Carolina's running game did.
That's a good homework project for you for our next podcast.
Oh, dang it. I've got two things on my list now.
You better write them down. You're going to forget about them.
Yeah. No.
All right. So player changes. They've got some people retiring. Ryan Khalil, their center.
Ooh, that's a big one.
And Julius Peppers.
Oh, my goodness.
We need that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's still, those are two big guys.
Two big ones. They're losing.
Carolina falling apart.
They are. So they're losing Thomas Davis. They informed him that they're not going to re-sign him,
really?
Linebacker. They're releasing Captain Munnerlin. Safety, Mike Adams. He's a free agent. They've told him they're not going to re-sign him. They re-signed Eric Reed to it was a 3-year deal, I think. Safety.
Those are big losses, man. Ryan Creel, Julius Peppers, Captain Merlin, and Mike Adams. And Thomas Davis. Dang, man, their whole secondary is falling apart.
Yeah. Greg Olsen, they thought they might lose him to retirement in the broadcasting world. He was going to go the way of the Jason Witten.
Greg Olsen's
but he's
done.
Not. He's no.
Done. Yeah.
He's
even if he plays.
Team.
Even if he plays. I mean, last year, he kept coming back. He had that foot injury, and he can't get over it. He kept coming back, and he played for a couple weeks. And he's just always injured now.
Yeah.
I know this because I have him on fantasy football. Aggravates the mess out of me.
He won't do that next year. Hey, you should draft Gronk next year. He's retiring.
Supposedly.
We'll see. He's going to go to broadcasting, maybe.
Oh, my gosh. Talk about Big Dummy. He'll be in there.
You don't know. Maybe he sounds really smart.
I've heard him before. You never heard him? I mean, he sounds exactly like he looks. He's, my name is Gronk. I play football.
Oh, man. Another thing. There's rumors that they're switching their defense to a 3-4.
Wow, everybody's doing that.
Yeah. But Ron Rivera, so I suspect maybe it's been blown out of proportion because all these different agencies are saying, oh, they're switching their scheme to a 3-4. And what, it was actually someone from The Athletic where Greg Allman's from said they may incorporate more 3-4 looks into their defensive scheme.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, maybe it's 60-40, 70-30. I don't really know.
Yeah.
We'll see. I wouldn't anticipate a complete turnaround. But that'd be interesting to have two of us in the division.
Three. Atlanta's playing a 3-4.
Really?
Yeah.
How long have they been doing that?
A couple years.
Okay. I'm not the scheme person here. I'm the headline person. Their cap picture, they've got $15 million available in cap. So,
they're about
right
safe.
Where we are. Yeah. Exactly. They've got 25 players in free agency.
That's a lot. What do we have, 22?
Around there.
And Atlanta had 25 as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Something like that. They've got 10 on the defense, 14 on the offense, and then one on special teams. That one's a fun one. But we'll go through the defense first. Three on their defensive line, defensive tackle Kyle Love, left defensive end Wes Horton, who's their starter, and then Brian Cox is behind him. So those two are both up for
Brian Cox Jr.
Brian Cox Jr.
Don't get them confused now.
I saw that name and I was like, that sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Just came to me. Linebacker, they've got three technically for free agency. Two of them aren't coming back. Thomas Davis won't be re-signed. Ben Jacobs is now a coach. And then they've got inside linebacker David Mayo, who's the backup to Keekly. Then we've got their defensive backs. They've got four that are up for free agency, and two of them are gone, like we talked about before, Mike Adams, Captain Munnerlin. Eric Reed is technically, I guess, a free agent was supposed to be, but they signed him to a deal.
No, they've already signed him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Colin Jones is number two behind Eric Reed. So they've got to re-sign him too or find somebody else. Then on the offense, we've got five on their offensive line. Three of them are starters.
Wow.
So Ryan Khalil, their center, retiring. Guard Amini Silatolu.
Should have practiced before.
I know. And then their right tackle, Darrell Williams. So those are their starters. And they've got a left tackle, Chris Clark, who plays behind Matt Khalil.
So wait a minute. Oh, okay.
And then their third string right tackle, Marshall Newhouse. He's up for free agency. Speaking of Cam Newton, his two backups. They've got, I think, four quarterbacks on the roster.
What?
Because they've got this guy, Gilbert Garrett, for free agency. They've got Kyle Allen, who is still under contract, and then they've got Taylor Heinicke, but he's to be re-signed. They've already said they're going to re-sign him. So they've got Cam, Taylor, and Kyle Allen that are under contract, and then there's Gilbert Garrett. He's up for free agency. So they might need that depth.
They do.
Who knows?
Maybe one of them could throw a football.
I know. Between four of them, I'm sure there's one that's got an arm.
I mean, Cam Newton's got an arm. It's just
not working.
Not very accurate. He can throw it 400 yards, but.
That's the problem with those mobile quarterbacks. They get hurt.
Yeah, there's a lot of problems. I mean, but getting hurt is the main one.
Yeah. They're taking a lot of contact. And then what are they going to do? You want them to stay in the pocket?
No. Did you know RG3, he had the same agent and marketing group behind him that Daryl McCoy does. And just in 1 year, they spent $500,000 marketing for RG3.
Interesting.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
$532,000 they spent.
Huh.
And I only found that out because of the lawsuit that was filed. It was a lawsuit. Anyhow, it all became public in December about some of the dealings that were going on.
Huh.
Yeah.
Like marketing dealings?
Well,
players?
McCoy's old agent sued his old company, CAA, Creative Artist Agency, biggest sports agency on the planet. And he sued him for a whole bunch of different stuff. But one of the things was he wanted his money back for all the marketing he did for RG3.
Oh.
And it was $532,000.
Wow.
In just 1 year.
I bet that was like a lot of meals and flights and hotels.
No, it's marketing.
Right. Like marketing dinners. You well,
you got to grease palms and get people to say nice things about you and stuff. Oh, I see what you said. Oh, okay. Yeah.
You take people out.
You gotcha. Yeah. Golfing.
Yeah.
Stuff golfing. Like that. Gotcha.
Carolina's got 4 running backs up for free agency.
Good Lord. How many running backs do they have?
Like 6. They've got.
Is that including Cam Newton?
No. They're number 2, Cameron Artis Payne. They're number 3, Kenjon Barner. Number 4, Tavares Cadet, and number 5, Fozzie Whitaker.
Fozzie. You remember him from Muppets?
Yes.
I always like Fozzie.
I'm sure everyone that ever hears this guy's name.
Yeah, he's probably never ever heard that before.
He was nothing.
He's like, oh my God, I'm named after a Muppet? Are you serious? Now, was he named after a Muppet? Probably, yeah. Muppets came out way before he did, I'm sure. His parents named him after a Muppet. I'm going to name my next kid Beaker.
Not if I have anything to do with it. Wide receivers, Devin Funchess, they're number 1. He's up for a free agency.
All these wide receivers could just disappear and it wouldn't matter.
I know.
I didn't even know they had wide receivers, to be honest with you.
Then they've got another one, Demir Byrd, they're number 3. And then a Jamal Jones. I don't even know who this person is. He's not on their roster from last year.
But he's a free agent.
Yeah, but he's a free agent. I don't know. This is courtesy of SpotRack. So. And then, okay, our special teams one. This is fun. Chandler Catanzaro is up for free agency.
Oh my gosh, maybe we can get him.
You shut your whore mouth.
Oh my gosh, are they going to re-sign him?
I don't know.
Probably not.
That's a good question.
How'd they do with him?
I don't know. He, no, he
obviously
went
not
with
too well. They lost like every game since week 6 when he went there.
Maybe it's the Chandler curse.
I can live with that. Just keep him out of our stadium.
That's right. So there we go.
Huh.
That's the state of the Panthers.
The Panthers don't look like they're in good shape at all.
No.
Man.
Yeah, between all the turnover on their coaching staff, they don't have a lot of cap room, and they're losing a lot of veterans.
Who are they spending all this money on?
That's a good question.
Because they don't have, I mean, you got McCaffrey, you've got Newton, you got Matt Khalil, and Luke Kuechly. Oh, Kawan Short. Isn't he?
Who is that? I've never even heard of that person.
You don't even listen to me. I talked all about this guy. Kawan Short, he's the highest paid defensive tackle in the league, and he sucks.
Oh.
Well, I mean, he sucked last year. I think he had like 3 sacks.
Ugh. Oh, yeah. Those are like those $5 million sacks.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So that's like... okay. So they're paying Cam Newton $21
million. Okay. About average.
Kawan Short, $16 million. Luke Kuechly, $12.3 million. Matt Khalil, $11 million. Trey Turner, $11 million. Dontari Poe, $9 million. So where's all their money going? Christian McCaffrey's only making $4.3 million.
He's not on his rookie contract.
Yeah, that's true. But gosh, do rookies even make that much anymore?
I think it depends on where you're drafted.
Kicker Graham Gano is making $4.2 million.
Is he even on their team anymore?
I think he got hurt. That's why they got Catanzaro.
So they've got a few like really expensive players.
Not that many, though. I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They only got 5 guys over $10
million. Huh.
So, but that's the thing. I mean, you know, they're $15 million under the cap, and you can barely name 4 people on their team.
Right.
I mean, that's a problem.
Yeah. That's a good point.
I mean, even with the Buccaneers, you can name off quite a few people even if you're not a Buccaneers fan. Jameis Winston, Mike Evans, Gerald McCoy, Levante David. I guess most people know Levante David.
I don't know. All we ever hear about is how underrated he is.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, most people in the league probably know Kwan more than they know Levante.
Yeah, I think that's true.
DeSean Jackson. Yeah, so, okay, we got like 5 people on our team, too, that you can name. I guess 5 is a good number. I don't know if I could name 5 people on...
I just need to pick a random team and see
Miami.
If you know 5 people.
Do it. John.
All right. Detroit Lions.
I quit. Matthew Stafford. I was getting ready to say Golden Tate. Oh, I can't believe he's not there anymore.
If you say Megatron, you're losing your football card.
Hey, Golden Tate's going to be up for free agency. I wouldn't mind getting him, but he'll probably cost as much as Deshaun.
Yeah.
Close to it.
Okay, so you got Matt Stafford.
I got Matt Stafford.
You got one.
Abdul, what's his name? The running back.
I can't tell you. It doesn't work if I tell you the answer.
Ahmed Abdullah? Ahmed Abdullah. Yeah, whatever. You got the wide receiver. Can you... This is horrible. It's absolutely horrible.
Was it too hard? You want me to pick a different team?
No. I know a lot of Detroit players. I should be able to name all of them. Hold on. I feel like if I can remember one, the rest of them will just come to me.
Yeah.
Hey, is Slay on the still on the team?
I'm pulling up a roster now.
Okay.
So keep naming them off and I'll... Or just think. Just think.
Well, my brain's not working. That's what it is.
Oh, okay.
All right. I remember the wide receiver's name. Kenny Galladay. LeGarrette Blount's on there. That running back is still on Detroit's. I think he's a free agent. That sucks.
Okay. So we've got Matt Stafford.
Got Matt Stafford. Galladay. Kenny Galladay.
LeGarrette Blount. All right. Two more.
Darius Slay.
Okay. One more.
I can't think of anybody. Oh, Prater.
Yes. Yeah.
I got the kicker.
Nice one.
So, you know, we should do that. We should five guys. You have to name five guys. Okay, I'll tell you what. Dallas Cowboys, go. It's the easy one.
Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, Sean Lee, what is his name? That linebacker with the collar. Vander Esch.
I like him. Yeah, it's very good. Esch. Check you out.
All right, man. I need one more.
Need one more.
Can I say Jason Witten?
I was going to say. No, he's not on the team yet.
Okay. Gosh, Dan Bailey's gone. I would have picked him. Who is their tight end? I'm trying to think of that. Their center. Is it Frederick? Last name Frederick? Ugh. Don't give me that look. And then I'm trying to think of any receivers.
Oh, my goodness.
They don't have Dez Bryant anymore.
No. That is good. Who are their receivers?
I know. So I've gotten four. I know four.
It's hard, isn't it?
It's so hard.
You put on a spot like that.
I know. Who's their backup running back?
No, I can't do backups.
Come on. I mean, Ezekiel's like a starter, but they still put others in
rotation.
Oh,
I know their backup. Because I had him in fantasy football when Ezekiel Elliott went out. I kept both of the backups.
Was it McFadden?
He was one of them.
He's probably not there anymore.
Probably not.
Are you looking it up? You got distracted by Twitter?
Yeah.
That'll happen.
He's got one more to think about.
I did. I said McFadden.
Oh, man. Now I'm looking at the list. I'm like, oh, how can we not remember these guys? Okay. Who'd you say, McFadden?
Yeah, that's my fourth one.
Nope.
Darn it. Give me a hint.
One of the wide receivers came from Oakland.
Amari Cooper.
Bingo.
Okay, there we go. Done.
How horrible is that? We can't remember this stuff. The season's only been over a month, 2 months.
We need to make, like, flashcards and stuff.
Well, you know, I guess if we were serious football fans, we would just never forget any player that's ever played. There's only, 1,200 of them in the league?
Yeah, something like that.
There's a, 30% turnover every year? So that's only 300-400 people you got to remember every year, or, you know, that you have to learn every year.
Well, there we go.
There we go. Easy peasy. Yeah, as soon as I saw Amari Cooper, I was like, how did I forget he was on there? Michael Gallup? Never heard of him. Yeah.
Okay.
Who Alan Hearns, though.
Okay.
He was with, yeah.
Jacksonville.
Yeah. Terrence Williams. Yeah, you were right. Travis Frederick. That's the center.
Huh?
So you had six people.
Woo. I remember when he got drafted. Because I think they took him.
Right before.
Like in the first round or something.
Everyone oh, that's right.
made fun of them for yeah. picking a center.
Yeah, it was high up in the first,
yeah.
first pick. Yeah.
And we're like, what were they
doing?
We
were at the Buffalo Wild Wings.
Something like that. Yeah.
But Tyrone Smith, their left tackle. Ooh, man, he's a beast.
Are they getting rid of him?
No.
Is he a free agent?
I wish. I'd pay $20 million a year for
him. What happened with Trent Brown? Anything?
I haven't heard a thing.
Huh.
Yeah. But I will say this. Tyrone Smith, as much of a beast as he is, Vita Vey whooped his butt.
Oh.
That was the game where I really went, damn, Vita Vey is a monster. And he single-handedly kept us in that game. I mean, nobody on our defensive line could do anything against their offensive line except Vita Vey, and he was just destroying all of them. He ran around to the left tackle, did a stunt. Came around, squared up with Tyrone Smith, pushed him all the way back into the quarterback. It was beautiful. Masterful. Anyhow, in case y'all don't know, I'm a big Vita Vea fan, so you're going to hear a lot of pro Vita Vea stuff coming. Any chance I get to talk about him, I'm going to talk about him. I'm telling you guys, we've got a elite player on our hands there. Who else did we miss? Big names. Taco Charlton.
I will never forget him.
I couldn't believe you remembered Vander Esch. That was good. He's great.
I just remember that collar. And then he's got a crazy, like, Scandinavian name.
Sean Lee and Vander Esch are just, they're probably the best linebacker duo in the league.
Yeah.
If Sean Lee could stay healthy.
Right, and he's always hurt.
Yeah. All right.
So we've talked about the Carolina Panthers and the
Dallas
Cowboys.
And the Detroit Lions.
And the Detroit Lions.
Hey, we got some Buck stuff in there.
Yeah. Maybe we'll do another podcast tomorrow when we figure out whether
When we hear about Donovan Smith, we are going to be on this microphone and... Most likely for worse. Most likely complaining.
Did we complain today?
We always complain. We're Bucks fans.
That's how we roll.
All right, guys. So we'll see y'all tomorrow. We're going to wrap this up. As you can tell, we're still a little under the weather. I am more so than Molly, but we get in the house. We got our furniture delivered today. We're almost settled in.
It's a process.
But we're going to try to get one out tomorrow when we hear anything about Donovan Smith. And until then,
go Bucks.